He is risen. What a wonderful, wonderful dream that is this morning. He is risen. This day, this celebration, this is what our faith is all about. I have had the great privilege of standing here in this spot now. I believe this is the 13th pastor here, to proclaim to you that he is risen. It is just as thrilling to me today as it was that very first time. I never seem to lose the enthusiasm of Easter morning. When I get up on Easter morning, it's usually really early. But right away, I feel my excitement. The excitement of a risen Savior. The excitement to know that Jesus rose for me. Now, you can't say that about most things in life. Spiritual excitement and satisfaction. Do you feel that this morning? We should feel spiritual excitement and satisfaction on Easter morning. I know that there's a lot that the world holds for us, and our day holds many things, and we're fussing with our dinners and trying to get to where we need to be and get everything taken care of for children and whoever we have to take care of. But you know what? Take time this morning to enjoy Easter. Take time this morning to be excited about where you are. This is what the Christian faith is all about. And we shouldn't miss this. No matter what else is going to take place today, don't miss this time. I tell you all the time how special worship is. You should praise God that you can be in worship. You hear me every time I pray for the shut-ins and the people in the hospitals and the people who would love to walk out their door and walk through that church door this morning, but they can't. But thanks be to God on Easter morning. You can. Praise Him for that. Be excited about that. You need to feel that this morning. Too often we miss the joy and excitement of Easter. Now the reason may be that we fail to recognize the joy of gathering together in worship. We should be more than happy to be here every Sunday. We should be more than happy. Each week should be seen as an opportunity and be filled with anticipation and excitement. I get to worship God. With my Christian brothers and sisters, I get to be here. That's a different way to look at it, isn't it? I get to be here. God allowed me to be here. God created this for me, not, oh gosh, I got to drag myself out of bed this morning to get to church. Oh boy, I'm so tired. I wish I could just stay in bed. Got to drag myself out and go to church. Don't you feel bad for me? This is how we mostly feel, and we shouldn't about worship. You might have to drag yourself out of bed to go to work, but don't drag yourself out of bed to be in worship. Be excited about this. This is an opportunity. I get to be here. God, you allowed me this time. Thank you, Lord, that I can be here. There are so many other places that you could have put me today. Thank you that you put me here in the presence of my brothers and sisters. Now, I've been carrying this thought with me during this Lenten season, and I want to share it with you. I heard someone say, as they were commenting on the joy and importance of celebrating Christmas, that without Christmas, there would be no Easter. Now, that bothered me. And I was not really sure why, at first, why it was bothering me, but it didn't sound right to me. But as the Lenten season began, it became clear to me what was wrong with that statement. It is a very human thought. It is a very human thought. As humans, life begins at birth or conception, but for Jesus, who was and is and always will be, birth was simply a necessary component of his mission. It was just just a component of his mission. Jesus always was, always will be. He did not need birth to be here. He did not need birth to be present to us. In order to make salvation available to all mankind, Jesus had to be born. Praise God that he was born. Praise God for the celebration of Christmas. I do not want you to stop celebrating Christmas by any means. But the correct statement is this. If not for Easter, there would be no Christmas. Because Easter is the point. Resurrection is the goal. Jesus wasn't born so that we could be born, and he didn't die so that we could die. These are natural human occurrences. Jesus died for our sins, and he was resurrected by God so that we might also have eternal life and experience resurrection. His mission was salvation. God's purpose was resurrection. If not for Easter, Jesus would not have come. Jesus would not have come if not for Easter. Understand, we miss this all the time. Jesus was born to die. Jesus came for the cross. He didn't come to experience birth. He didn't come to be a baby and be a child. He needed to do that. But the point, the focus, was on that cross. The focus was on that empty tomb. The focus was on resurrection. It always was. It always has been. And it always should be for us. If not for Easter, none of this matters. None of it matters. There was nothing that this life had to offer that Jesus came for, except for us. He came to save us by dying on a cross and rising from the dead. Now, Christmas gets all the attention. We sing Christmas carols, we put up lights and trees, we have parties. Most businesses close. Even Walmart closes for Christmas. But for Easter, most treat it like just another day. Many, unfortunately, still have to work. A lot show up for church. We have dinner and we eat more than we should. And then we move on. And we move on. You know, I don't understand. Why bother to close the doors of the stores and everything else for Christmas and have them wide open for Easter Day? There is nothing holier on a Christian calendar than the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Because without that day, nothing else matters. If the world was really paying attention to what the church needed, the world would close down today. The world would close down today. Nothing else would happen today except for worship. But the world gets it backwards. And sometimes so do we when we make love. Listen to the story this morning and be excited about the story. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Jesus is missing. Someone must have taken him. There must be some human reasoning to this. Still today, we hear this from our world. Jesus isn't in that tomb. Somebody apparently stole his body. Every year we hear a different story about bones that they found that must be Jesus. Guess what? They never are. And they never will be. Jesus is missing. What on earth could have happened to Jesus? Well, nothing on earth happened to Jesus. But something from heaven happened to Jesus. But Mary right now is concerned. She came to do what she could for Jesus. And found him not there. And she's upset. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I love John's writing because he always gives himself way more credit than anybody else. He's the fastest and the most loud. If you listen to the writing, I always think to myself, John, you're a little fooling yourself here. But that's the way he writes it. So the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. And Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. Now that's Peter. Peter waits for nothing. Peter doesn't hesitate about anything. Peter jumps right in. Puts his foot in his mouth and falls right in the door. This is Peter. Different personalities. John's the fastest of us all. Peter's the one who will go in without any hesitation. Put them both together, and I guess that makes them complete. Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. They ran to the tomb. What were they thinking? How dare anyone disturb the body of Jesus? How dare anyone touch that body after it was placed there? They were distressed, maybe even angry. It says that they saw and believed. They believed what? They believed that Jesus' body had been stolen. Mary, you're right, somebody took it. It's gone. Some thief came along and just took the body. Must be what happened. Is that what we believe today? When we think of this story? Yeah, there are a lot of people who do this. They hear the story of Jesus and they know what we believe. Many people in church sometimes, I think, hesitate. Did this really happen? Did somebody take it? You've got to have faith sometime. Sooner or later, we can only step forward in faith and believe. We're never going to get all the answers. We're never going to be able to go and search it out. Sooner or later, it takes faith. Do we doubt? Do we understand that Jesus had to rise? He had to rise. It's a fair question. As a church, our lack of excitement about the resurrection could suggest that we really don't believe. Because if we really believe what God miraculously did, that should be enough to excite us. If we really believe that God raised Jesus from the dead so that one day we might rise from the dead, if that doesn't excite us, then we better take our own pulses here. Finally, Mary, fall down in despair, recognizes the voice of her Lord. Here is the question. A question that I want to leave you with today. A question that I hope you will ask yourself over and over. Do you recognize the voice of your Savior? Do you hear Jesus calling you to this place? Do you feel Jesus compelling you to be in this place? Is Jesus in your heart to the point where you feel compelled to come and to worship Him because He is risen and because that gives you life? This is the question. To know Jesus is to hear His voice, because Jesus said, those who are called by My name will know My voice. They will hear My voice and they will respond to My voice. You've got to hear it here in order to be excited about it. And if you feel it, you should celebrate this resurrection. I want to leave you this morning with just part of a reading. I've been hounding you all the Lenten season to read this. And this is the last one. And only half of it says, listen with the ears of faith. Do you hear it? Surely the sound is there, as surely as the resurrection message itself. The stone is still rolling. Hear it. We believe that every ending is a new beginning. Every tomb is subject to being ripped open. Every human dilemma, every ending created by human sin or frailty or human foolishness can be torn open to the light and become the very place of a new beginning and a new life. That's the life of resurrection bought for us by Jesus Christ. Death and Satan can no longer hold us. We are free to shout the good news from the housetops. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Don't leave here today and fail to tell someone else that Jesus Christ is risen. It might be the first time that they've heard it. Or they may have heard it 100 times. It doesn't matter. The world out there needs to hear from the church, I serve a risen Savior. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Tell the world. Let us pray.